Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Root Horror Podcast bonus episode number 10. Today, I'll be talking to filmmakers Joe Castro, Milko Davis, and Brian Burkhoff as we dive into the topic of the dark truth behind film distributors. This is going to be a very informative, jam-packed episode, and maybe even shocking to you, as we talk about several film distributors and how they rip off filmmakers more ways than one. There is a list of top 7 worst film distributors, and we don't really say the list in the episode, so I'm going to go ahead and list off the names of the distributors that filmmakers have first-hand experience working with them. They've told us stories of why they are on the list to be in the top 7 worst distributors that you need to stay away from if you're a filmmaker or a producer or, you know, in any way involved with these companies. During the podcast, we have visuals where we show these distributors. We don't actually name them off, so I'm just going to go ahead and name them off right now. Midnight Releasing, Vision Films, Breaking Glass Pictures, Gravitas Ventures, ITN Studios, Wild Eye Releasing, and High Octane Pictures have all made the list of the top 7 worst distributors to stay away from. And by the time this episode's released, I'm sure the list has gotten even bigger. But yeah, so right off the bat, these are some of the companies that we'll be talking about tonight. And just stay tuned and listen to what we all have to say here. It's very informative. So without further ado, let's just get right to the episode. Hello, I'm Marcus with the Root Horror Podcast, and I'm here with filmmakers and crew members that work within the films. We're here to talk about the dark truth of behind film distributors and what the public eye and maybe filmmakers that are looking to get into distributing their films, you kind of get a little inside look at what some of these distributors have done in the past with firsthand experience with a couple of the folks that are here with me today. We're going to hear some inside story on film distributing and just, you know, some warning signs on to what to look for and to who to watch out for as well. But so I have here with me, I guess we'll kind of do a little round the table introduction, if you will.
Okay. Can I jump in? Hey, everybody. My name is Joe Castro, and I am an independent filmmaker and also a very well-known special effects artist in Hollywood, California. I've directed and produced and distributed 19 feature films, and I have a lot of firsthand experience in home media video distribution, and I'm hoping this podcast will shine some light on the ins and outs and horrors and pitfalls of home media distribution for the micro budget or the independent filmmaker. So I'm hoping everybody will listen through to the end because there's going to be some really good information here.
My name is Brian Burkhoff. I'm a writer. Also worked on several independent micro budget films and worked with a gentleman named Milko Davis who's with us right now as well. So just trying to help people navigate the corrupt dealings of some distributors, and I think it's an important thing that we should expose.
Great. My name is Milko Davis. I too am in the film industry. I've made today 10 low budget films. My resume is very close to what Joe Castro's is. You know, I work in special effects, in compositing, and all these fun little you can do now on low budgets. But I think, as Joe said, I think tonight's message from all three of us would be pertinent information for the new filmmakers getting into this business and the warning signs, and hopefully more education on knowing that there's a very dark side to this industry. So I'm ready and willing to give out that information.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here tonight. Thank you for this on. Attention is here. I think we've all kind of touched on it. But my intention here tonight to give information that will prevent the independent filmmaker from being taken advantage of by predatory distributors. So, and there is such a thing. This is a real thing. If you are new to the film industry, or even if you've done many films and still are trying to navigate your way through to a successful film distribution, just know that the distributors make up a new game plan every day to take advantage of you, to make as much money as they can for themselves. And it's been my personal and professional experience that they really don't have the intention of making you a lot of money. That's not their number one goal. Their number one goal is actually to make themselves a lot of money. And they do it any way they can legally. And they don't have any moral compass that would suggest otherwise. And that's my two cents on what's going on tonight. Does anybody else want to add something to that?
Hey, Milko, why don't you add something?
What's that?
Why don't you go ahead and add?
I'd copy and paste what Joe just said. I think there's so many elements to this that we could take up the whole night in our experiences. But like Joe said, there's a lot of money out there that is made from these projects. And there's a lot of scandalous things that occur that really minimize, maybe even to zero, where people won't make any money. I think the sad part of this, you've got a lot of good first-time filmmakers that could potentially have a great career, and they get dashed. Their hopes get dashed. They fall into debt. You know, everything's smoke and mirrors. You're promised a lot from various companies that never come true. And it's defeating. You get a lot of people that really care about what they do. They end up in the empty-handed at the end, shortchanged, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah.
I'd like to, Brian, do you have anything you want to add to that? Or would you like to move on to talk about maybe, I'd like to just dive right in to what we're really warning these people about, what we're really warning.
Yeah.
I just like to start with I want to say, you know, everything that's said here is based on our professional, experiences and is my First Amendment right to speak about this stuff. And, you know, I have a firsthand experience. I said that already. And it's my professional opinion that should share all this stuff. And I want to come right out and say, I want to just right off the top, want to give a horror story to everybody about a video distribution thing that happened to me recently. I was taken to a video distributor by a friend of mine who was a part of a project, and he handed me and the film we had just produced to this distributor. Said, hey, why don't you go with this distributor? I've worked with them three times before. And it seemed all friendly in person. We met them in person. And when they spoke to us in person, they made lots of promises. We can get your movie here. We can do here. We do these numbers. They showed us their catalog. They showed us all their titles. First thing I noticed was most of their titles I had never heard of, but they had lots of them. Oh, okay. But they have a lot of titles. Long story short, 2 years after they picked up our film, we made zero money. They moved 9,000 units of the movie in Walmart alone. And that doesn't count any of the other stores. It doesn't count any of the video on demand stuff. They didn't give us any money. 9,000 units at $9.99 at Walmart is $90,000. So they now. I found out that this director, the person who's a part of our project that took us to the distributor, each of the other films that he had taken to them first before ours also made no money. that were also in Walmart through all the video demand platforms, and none of the producers made any money. And I had a conversation with all the producers, and we all basically came to the conclusion, this person that walked us over to the distributor is being paid under the table. He's being paid under the table to bring movies to the distributor. The distributor doesn't pay the producers any money, and the producer and the distributor gives this person who walked us over, you know, like $2,000, $3,000, $5,000.
Kickback or commission.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. It's that stuff, you know. So it didn't matter what kind of contract I had. It didn't matter. They had no intention of ever upholding being truthful or upholding our agreement.
None. Yeah, I've got something to add to that in a second here.
Go for it.
First of all, some friend. I had a kind of a similar situation working on a feature with a dinosaur movie that a partner of mine that had invested, without bringing up names or the movie title, embezzled the amount, and we're talking huge cash from this film. It was just striking to me that you have a partner that's on the inside. It was two levels of getting smoked, per se, in my opinion. So I ended up with, zero cash, going to mediation, and ending up getting just enough to at least feather the pain for the actors and paid them rightfully, which was not much money at all. But that did teach me, it's not just to the level of distribution. There's a lot of people that get affected by this level of greed in this industry. Money does something really weird to people. So we've got to double check ourselves, right? But it seems like being completely honest, which is my motto, is, comes around and goes around. I never want to be on a bad end of a stick. So I try to run straight. So I think at the end of the day, just like Joe, you're finding out it's not just distributors you got to watch out for. You got to watch out for, comes to mind the name of the people. What are they?
They're basically salespeople that take your movie to the distributor. There's a middleman. And you also have to keep in mind that the distributor may show you on paper that they didn't make any money, so they don't have any right or have any, they don't have to give you any money. They don't owe on paper. But in reality, what the distributor has done is they paid everybody above them exorbitant amounts of money that weren't a part of your contract. So that way, the people that they paid exorbitant amounts of money can then turn down and pay them cash quietly. So that way you don't know about it. The level of corruption in home media distribution is so huge that I'm still trying to, even imagine how we can save ourselves and pull ourselves out of this. Every once in a while, and I mean every once, person over here will go, I got money. Oh, that distributor is good. I got money, but they offer no proof. And, some of these people, they may be happy with just being fed crumbs because the distributors have literally verbally abused everybody and robbed everybody and raped everybody so harshly over the years that they've got all these independent filmmakers believing that their film is not that good and they're doing them a favor and that your movie did not make any money. And if you go to the group, you'll be able to see all the information's there. There's a laundry list of people that make money every time a movie is distributed on DVD, like a laundry list. And it's above the distributor. It's the people that press the DVDs. It's the retail stores. It's the video on demand platforms. It's the people that design the artwork. It's the people that set the type on the DVD cover. It's the printing for the paper that goes into the DVD. A person makes money. The CDs that are bought, the DVDs that are bought, they buy them in these like thousand spools. Money. Everybody makes money. Except the filmmaker. The content creator does not make any money. So don't let these distributors tell you that no one makes money. I mean, we could go on and on of who makes money from, you know. What about the UPS guys that deliver the movies to the Walmart? What about the transportation team? I know for a fact that to deliver 1,500 units of a DVD to Walmart costs $3,000. Somebody made $3,000, bam, like that. I know for a fact because I was recently by the distributor because they sent all the leftover DVDs. They printed 15,000. They sold 9,000. They gave us the rest when they were done. That was their payment. They're like, oh, you can have the rest. You just take it. But the delivery guy billed them for the delivery. And they just pulled that $3,000 out of their pocket and threw it at the delivery guy. So they must have made some money. They're not going to just shell out $3,000 for nothing.
I mean, with the most recent experience I had, which is zero. Nothing tangible except finding out that your movie has been cross promoted on YouTube. I think I brought this up last time, Joe, but I found out that a lot of the music, there's a very sensitive portion of usage of music without getting an okay per se. So my movie had contracts with some people that recorded, you know, kind of a movie type, you know, with vocal stuff. And wouldn't you know it, I find that in general, that the movie was played on YouTube. And I think it's been watched like 60,000 times on YouTube with paid advertisement. And the music gets blocked constantly throughout it. So I'm wondering, like, is this being like recycled as a pirated version of the film through the distributor itself to keep it under the, you know, under the covers, and people don't realize, like, the filmmakers will never know how much is made because there's no paper trail.
That's right.
Well, and they shined you on when you questioned your distributor about that. Oh, you know, don't worry about that. That's good for the film. Remember?
Yeah, they tell you that, you know, piracy is good for a movie because it helps exposure. Not when it's been viewed 3 million times. That cannot be, especially on its immediate release.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great observation. My movie, The Summer of Massacre, was the most pirated film on YouTube in 2012, when pirating was like, it was just rampant. And it was the most pirated film up on YouTube for almost 2 months in a row. And the distributor would leave it up there because it drove people to go look at other movies that the distributor distributed. You know, it's like a big paid advert all.
But they're getting money for advertising on that too. They're making money. Like, I can only imagine if, like, my film is still on YouTube, it's got 2.5 million hits, it's got 63 advertisers, somebody's making money.
Yeah, we pull down our movies whenever we see them up. We always pull them down. We just fill out the form and pull it down. It comes down within 24 hours, sometimes like within an hour. I want to talk about towards, like, yes, these, you know, people are going to say, well, you didn't have a good enough contract. You need to have a lawyer look at it. You need to blah, 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 blah. But you have to understand that the distributors have a game plan for every move. You know, they already know our playbook. They already know that we're waiting to make money. So they have a game plan for every time we ask what they're doing or what's going on. Why aren't you paying us? Why aren't we making any money? They have that's their job. I mean, well, that's their job, but their real job is to make money for the, I mean, that, why else do we hire distributors? We hire distributors because we expect them to sell our movie and make us a profit. That's their real job. Do they do their real job? No, they don't. In most cases, they never do. And it should be known that they need to start stepping up to the plate and doing their job. How do we make this happen? How do we make this happen as independent filmmakers? I mean, the one thing that we can do, and I'm just going to touch on it briefly, and we can go back to some other horror stories, but through the podcast as far, we all need to front money. It needs to, you know, come to $15 tonight on orders of faux egg rolls. Why do we hand our $30,000 or our $50,000 or $100,000 movie to a distributor for free? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? No one does. No one in the world operates that way. Why do we, as independent filmmakers, you can literally say, you know, and I think this would be a good place to talk about figures. I'm thinking if we could just start with this, we can go up. We can go up. But for a movie that's $30,000 or less, you should ask for $10,000 upfront money. For a movie that's $50,000 or less, you should ask for $20,000 upfront. For a movie that's $100,000 or less, you should ask for at least $35,000 upfront. That's just for starters. And I hope everybody.
Are you including the amount of time? Like your special effects costs money. Your method.
Oh, I'm talking about. No, I get it. I get it. I'm just talking about like an upfront fee. The master of the film, they should be first putting money into your account, these dollar amounts into your account. Then they can have the master and start playing whatever games they want to with it. But this doesn't necessarily, this isn't the end all of end all. Your agreement with the distributor should come with not only a dollar amount in advance, but a really correct. And hopefully in the group, I'm like really in the middle of like a huge portion of my career right now. I've got a lot of things going on, but hopefully when I have a little more time in the group, we're going to start to compile a contract that works very well for all filmmakers. You know, everybody that has a good clause, we'll all take a look at it and we'll start to compile a good contract and what should be in it, what should not be in it. Maybe if we can get one of these contracts of one of these other distributors, we can redline what's good and what's bad, what to watch out for. And of course, they're going to change their contract every six months. They're going to find some new way to play us, you know. But this is something that can be brought into the group. Maybe a contract that looks shady, bring it into the group. Oh, we haven't even talked about what the group is. The group is Worldwide Film Distributors to Stay Away From and Why. It's a Facebook group. If you want to join our group, please come over and join us. Make sure you answer the questions to get into the group, because I get a lot of shady friend requests to come into the group. And I want to know if you're a filmmaker, if you're a distributor, you know, why you want to come into the group. Answer the questions so that way we can get you in the group and you can be a part of all this amazing information.
And I'll leave the link to the group, the Facebook group, in the description of this episode. So if you really are interested in checking out what this group is all about and, you know, like what Joe just pointed out, if you're a filmmaker, you know, we want to know if you are a distributor. I mean, you know, we want to know these things, you know, because this is kind of a private group to where we can't just let everybody in, because there are moles for these distributors. They want to get in and they want to really, you know, screw things up within this group, because I think some of these distributors are being shaken by the fact that there's thousands of filmmakers, artists that are in this group, and everyone's voice is being heard in this group. And, you know, I don't think the distributors are liking a lot of what's being said at all.
Not at all. Not at all. In fact, a lot of the distributors have already tried to weasel their way into the group, and I've been able to block them and block any of their future profiles. Of course, I'm sure they send moles to come in and check things out. I've had two police officers try to come into the group. I've had people literally say, "I am coming into the group to try and watch the group going on. I want to know what's going on in this group." You know, like just straight up with anger, you know, and fury. Why are y'all doing this? I had someone from another country say yesterday, send me a request to get in the group. And it says, "Why do you want to be in this group?" And he said, to find out who was ratting out these companies. That's what they were. They wanted to come in and see who was ratting out all the bad behavior of these companies. And
I can add something really interesting that happened just today. I got fired by a distributor, apparently. I thought I hired them and I was their boss, but apparently they feel that they can fire me. Never been through that. And they're on the top 10 guys.
So basically they said they were done with your film and they threw it back at you.
Yeah. They're saying that, they're going to spend a heck of a lot of time to pull down my film from every asset. Yeah,
of course. No, it's not going to take time. It's a couple of clicks because they've gone through somebody and they just push a button.
Well, my thought is they've reached the golden 18.
Yeah.
They made their money.
Yeah.
So they can give it back to me now.
And how long did they have?
3 years.
Was your contract with them for?
No, it's only.
Has it already been 3 years? They've breached the contract. That's actually against the law.
I think this gentleman, right?
Yeah.
He's pretty much said that he tried to teach me about. I've been around the block, man. I've been around the block, like pretty much like you have. He's trying to tell me that I have no idea. Oh, and that just because the movie wasn't doing well, and he goes, you know that this.
Right, and it's all risk, and you knew that getting into it.
But
we made everybody else money. But I'm sorry, we don't have any for you. I'm sorry, the paper doesn't
exactly.
show.
Exactly, and you know,
money.
At the
I'm
beginning, yeah. when it shook hands, we signed the contract 18 months ago, a year and a half ago. They said about 3 months after it was during the shutdown, during the pandemic. And they were, you know, it's funny how these distributors will smile and giggle and be your best friend. And as soon as you sign on the dotted line, you're no longer part of the club. In fact, good luck trying to get him on the phone. But what he said was that the movie that I had just released here a year and a half ago was on a report card, A+ across the board. Now, 18 months later, the movie's done poorly. And you just can't handle the fact that it just didn't do it.
Yeah, of course. It's being dishonest or misled is a tool. It's a tactic. It's a mode of operate or it's a way they operate. And it doesn't. If they can do it and get away with it, and no one is policing them, then there's no one to stop them from doing it. And that's exactly what's going on. There's no one police distributors. From being immoral and for not upholding the contract and for being dishonest, for verbally misleading all of their clients into doing something that they never had no intention of doing. And that's what's going on. You know, that's what's really going on here. I wanted to touch briefly about in our group, we have a list of distributors to stay away from. It doesn't say that not to work with them. It just says, do not hand these distributors your money without giving some sort of upfront cash.
We'll get right back into more of the discussion about these film distributors and horror stories working with distributors. But first, let's listen to a message from the Root Horror Podcast Network, the PFPN. We'll get right back to the conversation.
You're listening to the Prescribed Films Podcast Network, home to hundreds of hours of free podcast entertainment. The shows on this network all have a common goal, providing you with the best discussions about movies and other forms of entertainment media. The PFPN hopes to fill your earholes with audio joy. Visit our website with links to all the other amazing shows at www.thepfpn.com. Thanks for listening.
I want to point out in our group, there is a list of top 10, 11 distributors at the moment. The list will probably grow that everybody should look at. And it basically says in the group, these are distributors that you should be very aware of, that probably and most likely practice, if not all of this behavior, some of this behavior. And you should not, under any circumstance, hand your movie to this distributor without getting some sort of money up front, because there's a great possibility that you will receive zero money on the back end if you do that. And it's been proven time and time. The filmmakers have been promised the world. They hand their master to these people, and then after 2 years or 3 years or when the contract is up, they have received no money at all. So you must demand some sort of upfront money, minimum guarantee, and need to get it into your account before you give them the master. So go check out the list of the group. There's a great list there of people to stay away from. It doesn't say not to conduct business with them. We're not slandering anybody. We're saying these are companies to be aware of.
Yeah, just be don't willy-nilly hand your product over to them just because you're excited to get a distributor.
That's right. And you know, you might be very excited about having your movie in Walmart with a nice shiny poster and you're with playing with the big boys, but you don't have to do it for free. And that's what'll happen if you hand them your movie without getting any money. Also, I want to point out, never sign a contract that is just handed to you. Every contract that is handed to a filmmaker is set up with the intention of never paying the filmmaker. It may look like it, but there's always that one word, that one fine print. And basically what it says is, we have the right to not pay you. And not so many words, but it says, it's okay if you never make a cent.
Joe, have you anything in contract that you had that prevented you from regaining your film in the future?
Oh, maybe some shade. I see what you're saying. Yeah. So there's another
that causes you to buy it back.
Yeah. There's some things to look out for in contracts that are super shady. I mean, there's lots of them, but one of them is, and a lot of filmmakers don't know this, contracts can say we have the right to lease your movie to a third party while you are while we're distributing your film, and you have to uphold the contract that we lease this film to. And the contract doesn't have to be shown to you. And when you finally do see what's going on, you find out that they have not leased the film to a third party, but they've sold the movie to a third party who now owns your movie for eternity. And sometimes you don't even know it happens, because what the distributor does is they sell your movie to a foreign country, and the terms and the conditions are that they get to keep the movie for eternity, and they get to retitle your film with new artwork, and you never know that your movie exists in another country. Happens all the time. Okay. Yeah, we were just talking about how distributors will sell your movie to another country, and the other country will just take your movie and retitle it and put new artwork on it, and you never know your movie even exists in another country.
Well, Joe, didn't...
It happens all the time.
Didn't you have a film, Joe, that ended up in Australia that was...
Right. So, the movie The Summer of Massacre, and I have right to say this, Breaking Glass Pictures is my number... one of the top three film distributors that I would never conduct business with, ever. Part of our contract was that for any foreign territories they sold the movie to, we had to be shown in advance the contract they were signing with these countries, so we could keep track of the dollar amount and keep track of which countries it was going to. And what happened was Breaking Glass Pictures took the screening that we had given them just for a screening copy and used that copy to mass produce and sell it to Australia. They didn't even give us our master. That's how fast they were trying to get it out.
Yeah.
Before we had even signed a contract with them to distribute our film, as we were in talks, they had already given it to Australia. It was like 50 grand. They sold it to Australia for $50,000. That was back in 2012. $50,000. And we found out because Steve did. Anytime your movie is mentioned online, we get a Google alert. And it was a really interesting title, The Summer of Massacre. So when The Summer of Massacre is mentioned online, we get a Google alert. And sure enough, when they released it in Australia, we got a Google alert. We found out that he was already distributing our movie in other countries without showing us the contract. Completely breach of contract. That company is, in my professional opinion, a whole level of bad that we could spend an entire show talking about. I can't even begin to tell you how terrible and immoral, disgraceful, unprofessional my experience was with them. I don't even want to go into it. Other than this is the kind of company that if you speak out against them, they will literally try to sue you and take your home for defamation, even though everything you're true. That's how bad this company is. So filmmakers, beware. Stay clear of King Glass Pictures. I would never conduct business with them. And this is my, this is a say a warning, my own professional opinion. It was a horrible, horrible experience. And I have a right to say that. Yeah, and my whole purpose today is to save filmmakers from being exploited and taken advantage of. Why wouldn't I say that?
Right. Why Milka, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say something interesting. We're in the topic of foreign countries. There's another filmmaker that my wife is like an executive producer to all my films. And we had both been able to get a film with this gal from the UK with, ironically, the same company that we're dealing with and having problems with, had actually taken them to arbitration and won. And with that thought right there, I'm wondering if the voices like Joe's voice, my voice, Brian's voice, this podcast, and the hundreds of other people that are starting to bark, isn't this kind of like a Me Too movement that's occurring with filmmakers? And maybe it's starting the foundation of distributors out there. That's why we've got all these moles and sharks just kind of swimming around, smelling blood. They're just kind of worried right now because, you know, if you have one or two voices saying, I got this, I got that, or whatever, now you have hundreds of people going, hey, me too. You know, I'm wondering if this is starting to fracture, start shaking the ground for this industry that's so corrupt. And as you know, in other arenas beyond film, when people start talking and you've got a mass amount of people start, it shakes the foundation. It rocks it.
It's a great point. You know, and I believe,
you know,
go ahead.
People will hear this because 42 plus countries. So, I mean, you know, people are going to hear this. The word is going to get spread around, to, you know, filmmakers and artists about some of these shady distributors. And, you know, they should be shaken.
They are shitty, shady distributors. Yeah, they are shitty distributors. They are shitty because, once again, the reason why we hire them, the reason why we go with them to sell our movie is to distribute our film and to make us money. And 9 times out of 10, it's been proven time and time again, that is not what they end up doing. You know, and...
Brian, didn't you say something that you had met some people as this proof in point that the films that we make actually do have gravity, and a lot of people are interested, Joe, in the types of films that we make? And Brian had mentioned that he met with some younger well, people, guys, that had actually, this, what did
you
they
know, the low budget say? Stuff. I enjoy working on it with you guys. And, so don't tell me something that's got a budget behind it, right? So I never had originally gravitated to like micro budget films. So I didn't understand what attracted people to it, you know. And so I have talked to people that are younger than me, and I actually ran into a woman in on jury duty, and I was reading a script that I was studying, and we started talking, and she was just telling me how much she liked horror movies. And and as the conversation went on, she said, I really like the low budget, micro budget stuff. And she had the lingo down, you know. And so I picked her brain because I wanted to know after court, you know. I asked her if we could sit down and have coffee so I could understand more of, you know, this arena that I've been kind of sticking my toe in over the years. And she said, we just, the content, you know, because it's not polished, it's awesome, you know, because it's not a big budget thing, because it doesn't have, you know, great actors in it, named actors. That's what makes it fun. And I actually got a kid that came in and is working as an intern with me. And we were talking about the movie I just did with you, Joe. And he says I asked him what kind of movies he liked to watch. He said, I love, you know, these low budget films. So I was really surprised that there is a niche market that draw people that that this industry draws people to, not just the film industry, but this low budget film industry, you know. So I just thought it was interesting, those conversations I've been having with some different people, you know. It helps me understand that, yeah, they do, these films do make money because these people are watching it.
Well,
you talk to, you know,
I mean, that's a great point, Brian. I mean, think about it. Yes, major studio movie, but a majority of the movies, like 95% of the movies on video on demand platforms, are independent films.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? That no one's making money? The distributors aren't making money? Of course they are. Of course they're making money. 95% of these platforms are distributing independent films, these micro-budget films. So,
well, I don't think they'd be chasing you guys or courting you guys if that weren't the case.
That's right.
You know?
True. I'll tell you one thing. One of the actors from the latest film that I did went to visit his family in New Jersey. They went to dinner, and a waitress kept on passing by their table and kept on staring at a buddy of mine. He's actually scored big now, and that's another story, but
yeah. He's
actually in a bigger film now.
I do have mention it.
You know, can I mention names on that? Or yeah, Rick Hack. He was in a film. Really good actor. I think he's misplaced in the lower budget in bigger films. But he's a good friend of mine. And you know what? This waitress kept on staring at him. He had no idea. He's like, that's awkward, you know, because he's like 67 years old. And, you know, she finally asked him, I got to ask you, are you an actor? And she brought up the film. I mean, we're talking about somebody in a different state somewhere. And she said, were you in this dinosaur movie? She says, my husband and I watch that over and over. We love it. So it's like, Joe, like what you're saying, there's a huge market for these films. In fact, I'm wondering, how much of those numbers for the total amount when they say, you know, our billion-dollar industry, how much of that money is made up from the small micro budgets that we're doing? No budget, micro budget, you name it. They've been around from 30, 40, 50 years, low budget, even with that Ed Wood cracking, was it Plan 9 from Outer Space? These movies gravitate. They build audiences. And I'm sure that those numbers that they talk about year to year to year are not just the big industry studios. They're made up of all these smaller
I wanted to jump in real quickly. I'm going to jump in. My partner, who I'm talking to via text over in the studio right now, and he wants me to make sure this is what he's saying. He's saying that the payment that they give you up front is a licensing fee. They are licensing your movie to make a profit. They have to pay you a licensing fee. That's why they give you money up front. That's why you demand money up front. They are literally leasing your movie to make a profit. And they have to give you something up front. But this is not going to work unless we all do it together. It will work.
Well,
I guarantee you, if we don't hand them any movies to distribute, they will either pay you for your movie, or they're going to start paying people to make movies. Someone's going to have to pay money if they want to make money.
Right. And Joe, let me jump in on that. That licensing fee
right. Has
to have an expiration date.
Yes, you know, that's also that part of the agreement. Yes, yes. This is all part of the contract. So not only do they hand you money, but the contract has to be sound. But we must start with money up front. And here's some estimates that my partner is giving out right now. He's saying for a movie that is $30,000 or less, you need to demand at least $15,000 money up front as a licensing fee. And there should be like a 2-year contract, no more. You don't make any big money after 2 years in the distribution game. It's already run its course. So if you're going to sign like a 7-year deal or a 17-year deal or 20-year deal with some company, tell them no way. No. No means no. It's 2 years. They get 2 years. You make most of your money in home media distribution in the first 6 months. So when the distributor keeps telling you, wait, well, you're almost going to make a profit.
Yeah.
You're almost going to make a profit. 2 years later, when you're almost going to make a profit, they're waiting to run out their term of when they make money. It's about 2 years. So no longer than 2 years. A movie for $50,000 that's made for $50,000 or less should be at least $25,000 up front as a licensing fee. At least $25,000 up front. That's what he's suggesting. And that's what we're going to be calling it. It's a licensing fee. They need to license your movie if they want to exploit it to make a profit. They don't get right, they don't get just to play with your movie for no money. They don't get to do whatever they want. Pay some crappy poster that you don't even like to hang on your wall. You know.
So and charge you back for it.
Exactly.
Four times,
exactly.
Five times what it cost them.
Exactly. Exactly.
So could I turn this conversation just a tad?
Sure.
Name off the distributors that we should look out for or be warned about.
I was thinking about, I have the, let me see. I have the JPEG of it. Can I share it on the screen? Can I do that? Would that be okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's in the group, but, it's recommended.
These are distributors that people have experienced firsthand business with. So these aren't just, oh, we hear that they're bad. Like these are like, no, these people, you know, within the group have actually worked with these groups. So we're not just getting hearsay information.
Yeah, these are all verified.
Yeah. So it says host is disabled participant sharing. If you can enable it for me, that'd be great. And once again, I want to reiterate, I'm not saying do not work with these people. What I'm saying is do not hand your movie to these people without asking for some sort of upfront money, which we are now calling a licensing fee. Do not, under any circumstance, give any of these companies a movie unless they gave you some sort of money upfront. Definitely conduct business with them. They get their movies into a lot of big places, but don't do it if they're not committed to making an actual profit for the film. Unless you like giving your movie away for free, then absolutely give your movie to them. If you enjoy that, I'm not saying don't work with them. If you love being taken advantage of, or if you love having your movie distributed and watch everybody live high on the hog on the profits of your film, then absolutely, you be my guest. Yes, definitely go with these distributors. Yes, sir.
So I have a question for you, Joe. We're all talking numbers. Like if you make a $30 film.
Go ahead. They can still see this list. Okay. Can they see us talking or can they just see the list?
Oh, yeah, they can see it.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
So, back to my point. Joe, you had mentioned that, $30,000.
Yeah. I would go with 15. I would do equations. Half of your budget for the, you may never see another penny. You may never see another penny.
Well, and that's my thing. It's usually the first check you get is the last you'll ever see. So my question is, I'm not saying to play games and you become the beast that you're trying to avoid, but we as filmmakers say, we capitalize on, okay, straight cash. You made a movie for 10 grand, let's say. But you know darn well the amount of effort that goes into that film, your time, Joe, when you direct and your experience, that is like yourself towards a higher amount, right? So like when I do my special effects, it's like cha-ching, cha-ching for every hour I spend behind that computer. So my thought is, and this is not a thought to try to tell young filmmakers or any newbie coming into the to this industry, is really evaluate. Just because you're putting in 5 grand doesn't mean the movie costs 5 grand. And I think within reality, I know people will try to juice up their figure. I had done a movie about 7 years ago where I had somebody, claim that the movie was made for $1 million. And you could obviously tell,
exaggerating,
either somebody was punch drunk or they were just full of it. But I think there is a truth to that. 5 or 10 grand is not necessarily 5 or 10 grand.
Yeah, I was just gauging.
Could be
gauging,
double or triple that.
You're willing to, don't hand them anything you're not willing to lose. I say don't lend money to your friend any amount that you're not willing to never get back.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with these distributors. And also, what was I going to say? I was just going to say, you know, that these people are operating. What's that thing they say? It's nothing personal. It's just business. You know, they don't take it personal. They don't take it personal that you don't make a cent per movie. They don't care how much money you spent on it or how many years you dedicated or how many people were involved. They're looking forward to it or how many people you've signed a contract with that you will pay them their money back. They don't care. That's not what they're in business to do. They're in business to distribute a film and make money for themselves.
But ironically, they do care because, or at least the individual I just spoke to was so offended.
Oh, yeah. No, of course they're offended.
I use the term in my
because then they have to sleep with themselves at night. How dare you make me think about how horrible of a person I am? How dare you make me believe that I've done something? How dare you talk about a subject that we have silenced now for at least 20 years? And we worked hard at keeping y'all quiet for asking for money.
Right.
I mentioned in the last time we did this, but in 2000, I was paid $50,000 up front for a movie that cost $2,000. They gave me $50,000 cash. That was like the first check. I still made money after that. That was in 2000. And then in like around 2005, I was making about $40,000 a picture. I would spend $5,000 on a movie, on shot on video feature. And then they would give me like $40,000 up front. And then by the time 2010 rolled around, it was like $5,000.
No, go ahead.
They give you like $5,000 up front for going down.
Yeah. So ironically, Brian, you know, he and I have known each other since the mid 90s. And even before I shot my first feature, I made this small claymation movie, like stop motion. It was like a Star Trek parody way before YouTube and stuff like that. So anyway, it was 17 minutes long. Just say, you know, make a long story short, I signed with a company out of all things. This is a company you probably wouldn't want to sign with for the name, but it was called Tapeworm Distributors. They were out in Ventura County. You know, that 17 minute film made $70,000 for me in a year. Brian would be this was during fax machine time. Brian came over one time.
The order.
Brian, you remember that paper?
Yeah, the order list that came.
You know, it was like $15,000.
Yeah.
And filmmakers need to bank on this 17 minute flick.
Profits are bigger now. They're not smaller.
Well, there's more platforms.
These distributors are making exorbitant amount of money in other ways. It's not because, it's harder to make money now. No, they're making like crazy amounts of monies from our film, like a lot. It's the other way around. They want us to believe we're not. That's part of the business. You make the filmmaker
they're
believe
the wool over our eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Also, go ahead. Go up.
Joe, I was just, there's so much money in this industry, Joe. What does this say about, you know, the power of filmmakers being able to make hundreds of thousands
exactly.
if
All we
recalibrate,
have to do is just stand our
reset,
ground, you know, okay. and not give our movies away anymore? Well, the first thing that will happen is all the tiny little distributors will go away. They'll have to find another way to pay their rent. We'll have to find another way to pay for their expensive house. We'll have to find another way to pay for their lawsuits and hide. They'll have to find another way to operate. And more than likely, they'll all go away. The ones that do have some money, you know, we'll have to recalibrate and figure out, well, how are we going to continue making a profit? We're going to have to hire. We're going to have to pay filmmakers. And we're going to have to start paying, you know, some money up front. But that's pretty much, that's how it will happen. Now they may stand their ground and try to sweat it out. But see, we have jobs. We live on nothing. We have nothing to lose. We don't have anything to lose. We don't have to hand them our money, our movie. We don't have to do it. No one's putting a gun to our head saying, give them the movie. We do it all on our own. We put our throw out and let them slice it all by ourselves. So we don't have to give them our movie. We can hold on to our film. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been working on a movie that I just did with Brian, Terror Toons 4. I've been producing that movie for 10 years. What's going on? 10 years. Eight years. 10 years now. I'm not about ready just to hand to somebody for free. And if you have a movie that you've been babying and working on for 10 years or 5 years, you don't have to just get it to them when it's done. You can wait. You can wait it out. You can hang on for it 2 years, 3 years. The story is not going to get old if it was never been told to begin with. Every time somebody watches your movie for the first time, it will still be like watching it for the first time.
So let me ask you a question. I just finished the movie and I have no plan to search for a distributor. Not yet. I don't know. It was a great, I think it's one of the best pieces I've done. Unfortunately, I've been so muddied about the whole situation that I'm making deals with theaters to play it right now. And that's the only venue I have is like, I'm going to four wall it, try to build an audience, but
yeah,
I just know also that when you give a screener to anybody anymore,
even if you haven't signed a contract, they will take your screener and they will mark, they will already sell it around and see how much money they can get before they come back to you and offer you something. They already know how much money they're going to make. They already have a figure amount written in the book. They know what they're going to make. So if you give them a
screen, Joe, how do you feel?
They will already exploit your film and walk all over it and pee all over it and rape it and show it to everybody. So that way, when you go to the next distributor, the distributor's like, I already seen that thing. That thing's already been floating around. Everybody has already had a piece of that. That's folks. I have not done that. I have Joe, not done that myself personally, but I know people do that. I don't have any firsthand experience with that. You know,
I'm doing it right now.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'm doing it right now, and it is showing profit. Like, well, profit and not, you know, you're going to retire, but enough profit to say, push it, move it over for another screen and another screen and another. So at that point, I think for a filmmaker, it would be about money as much as do it.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if we had our own,
get it in front of a bunch of eyes?
Distribution platform where we could take like 8 films and four wall them all at once and kind of like recycles out to the next one and, you know, that kind of thing. And I just, that's not me as an artist. I'm a special effects artist. I mean, I have a big voice and I know how to rally people together. It's always been a very, very, very good skill of mine. I know how to do that. But as far as like, you know, sitting down and put the actual paper plan of what to do and how to, it's just not really my thing. You know, I'm willing to do any footwork that needs to be done to make this change happen. And I'm just asking everybody to stand their ground. It may take a year. It may take 2 years. It may not even take 2 years. It may just take like half a year. Well, we don't know how high on the hog these people are living that they really need our movie to go to the next one. We don't know. I mean, it would be great if today, like right now, whoever's watching this podcast, turned to the next filmmaker and said, your movie away without asking anything for it up front. And everybody
watch this podcast.
Yeah, you got to watch the podcast. You got to do what they say. And like within 30 days, every contract that's getting ready to be signed is frozen in its track. And no distributor gets to take any other movie unless they get paid something up front. And we just sit there and we can wait. We can wait. They shelved movies in Hollywood for like a year and a half. Why can't we wait a year and a half before we see the next James Bond, before we see the next Jurassic Park, right? Didn't they do that? And they shove all these movies for a year or so. Why can't we do that? Why can't we wait and let them sweat it out? They have to pay their luxury car bills. They have to pay the money to go to Cannes Film Festival. They have to pay their hotels. They have to pay, you know, all their fancy dinners. They have to pay their rent for their condo. They have to do all this stuff. I mean, some of these people don't even have a real office. You think they have an actual office? Their office is online in a Zoom meeting. And their P.O. box is they have a, not even a P.O. box. It's just a mailbox to get from.
I wish you had Chicago right now.
Oh, I do have that. Let me see.
Can you show that?
Let me see if I can pull that up. Let me see if I have
Marcus,
it.
Marcus, you got to see this.
I think I've seen it. I Googled the mailing address of the last distribution company that I worked with. And now, remember when I signed the deal 2 years ago. So 2 years ago, they had an office they had an office that was close to me, about 5 minutes from me, in Sherman Oaks, California. Hold on a second. Oops, hold on a second. And what happened was when I Googled them recently, they had changed their address. So I went their new address, and can I just preview it like this? Open. Let's go ahead and do this. Screen share. When I Googled their address, this came up. Vision Films. they didn't have an office anymore, and they now claimed that their office was at 333 like Washington Boulevard, or I forget what the address was. And there it was. I was looking, I was like, where? I go, did they rent an office space here in this shopping center? And then I zoomed in on the address, and it's at this Postmaster's place.
I did some research, Joe, on High Octane, and it showed up as a church.
As a church?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh. I pictures.
Well, God bless them. Church.
If anybody can see Lise Romanoff's phone number, she's the CEO of Vision Films. Why don't you give her a call and let her know you know where her address is. Maybe you want to stop by and say hello to her. Give her a call. Give her some advice of how to distribute.
Meet her for coffee.
Yeah, meet her for coffee there.
That'd be funny because I do have some mail I need to drop off. So you can kill two birds with one stone. Joe, you remember about Distributor.
I'm not sure if my partner went years with ago. Distributor or not. I don't know the whole story about that. I'm not really filled in on that. But yeah, I mean, someone was mentioned something about some sort of fiasco or something that happened that they got away with murder.
But these guys got away with murder. They got away with murder.
Well,
murder.
I heard Redbox says the same thing.
That was 1700.
Sometimes they
titles.
Don't even, they just don't pay. I'm sorry. No, we're not going to pay you. What are you going to do about it? I mean, who's going to stop them? Who's going to audit their books? Who's going to audit? Who's going to keep track of their numbers? Who?
Dang.
No one. They're their own, monopoly, right? Redbox.
Audits are worthless?
I can't answer that. All it will make them do is go through hoops. Yeah. I'm going to be on a plane in a week from now working on one of the biggest films of my career. And I got to go get jumping on that. But I want everybody to please buckle down, start to demand this licensing fee up front. It's the only way we're going to make some sort of change. It needs to happen. Unless you enjoy being taken advantage of and robbed, lied to, misled.
And you know. Don't believe people aren't seeing your films. Yep. Because we had a guy in a film, a couple of them, and somebody, and I can't remember the director, Milky, you probably do, some director in L.A. watched this micro-budget that Milko did, and would you know it, this guy got hired to play, cast to play Ulysses S. Grant in a Western. And, I mean, and I think he's got picked up for something else, didn't he, Milko?
Yeah, he's due up in L.A. in November.
Right. So why would a proven Hollywood director or producer have Richard Hatt or Rick Hatt in this little movie that supposedly nobody ever sees and it doesn't make money? He had to get it somehow. You know,
he had to have seen it somehow. There's almost 8 billion people on this planet. Someone's watching your movie. Someone's watching it. Listen, I gotta bow out. This is amazing. I hope you post this in the group.
Yes, I will.
So everybody can see. And I hope that some other, this is the first of many. I hope that other directors that have had similar experiences that can come to onto your podcast and share their so we can all keep the conversation going and demand money up front for your film. And yeah, that's all I got. Come check us out.
Good night, guys.
Good night. Good night. And you're going to post a link to our group?
Yes, I'll post a link in the group.
Good night.
And then for the audio version, do you mind if I name off you know, the distributors that.
Oh yeah, I mean that it's they're public figures. They're you can Google them. Everybody knows who they
are. They're verified by.
Yeah, and the things that we're talking about are things that can be verified online with like lawsuits and court cases that have against them. We're Americans. Right. We can talk about this stuff. We're Americans. You know.
Yeah. Right.
We're Americans. We talk about this. Yeah.
But yeah, so when I do the audio version of this, I will name off the distributors at the end of the show, just you know, so whoever listens and not watches the video will have an idea of some of the people we're talking about or the distributors. I do want to mention real quick, with High Octane, I'll say their name because I've never even worked with them before, but I've noticed that they use shills in their movie trailers of, you know, like one is called Hidden Hollywood News. I looked them up. They're not even real. Oh. So it's just the distributors making up their own, you know, reviews basically.
Yeah. So basically you're saying the distributors of these movies make up their own fake websites and their own fake reviews. So that way their movies look good to bring an audience to their, credibility into the movies that they distribute, which is a very common tactic.
Yeah.
So, well, anyways, listen.
There,
I got to go. Page. Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Good night,
so much.
Everybody.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll have a beautiful night. Great podcast.
Good night, Joe.
Good information. Good night, everybody. Bye bye.
God bless.
So that concludes the episode tonight. Just want to thank Joe, Milkos, and Brian for coming on the show, and actually speaking up about some of these distributors and how it's not cool what they're doing to filmmakers. If you're an inspiring filmmaker or an indie filmmaker that is thinking about working with these companies, maybe should think twice about making a decision on going with these companies. I hope this gave you a little bit of insight, opened your eyes that you know, there is something that can be changed. And if you want to be a part of that change, there's a Facebook group, which I'll leave the link into the description of this episode. If you're very interested in finding more about these distributors, and if you can contribute in any way and help the group, it would be much appreciated. And if you are a filmmaker, producer, or anybody who has worked with these companies and you have something to say to add to the conversation, please email me at rudehorror@gmail.com. Let's set something up and let's talk about distributors that you've worked with that you can mention and tell us your stories. So if you want to follow me, you can go to linktree.com/rootHorrorPodcast. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, have a website, all that stuff. Just go to linktree.com/rootHorrorPodcast. And again, my email is rootHorror@gmail.com if you'd like to email me. Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for the next one.